seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the first book of the Chronicles, chapter 22 and verse 11. The first book of the Chronicles, chapter 22 and verse 11. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. The first book of the Chronicles, and chapter 22, verse 11. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Dear David was reminding Solomon of what the Lord had said. And you will find in that closing clause of the text, as he hath said of thee. And you know, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord will ever perform what he has said. And as the Lord had said to David concerning Solomon building the temple, so the Lord was to fulfill it. And he says here, as he hath said of thee. And let us bring it right home to us. What has he said of us? You know, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord makes known his divine purposes, his divine will. And the Lord so made it known to David and then conveyed it to Solomon, what the Lord's will was and what he was going to do. And the Lord had especially prepared Solomon for this work. You know, the wonderful preparation that God went into in preparing Solomon for this. And you think of your own heart and mind, what is he preparing us for? Well, I trust that we're all being prepared for a vast eternity. That is first of all. That should be the prime concern of each of our souls. Is your prayer like the dear hymn writers, and I trust it's mine each day, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. You know, we shall never get to heaven without that grace. And then he goes on, doesn't he, in Christ's obedience clothed, and washes in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, the Lord has said that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Jesus said, didn't he, I go to prepare a place for them. And if I go and prepare a place for thee, I will come again and receive thee unto myself. But here, you see, the Lord had prepared Solomon for this solemn work. Really, if you look throughout God's holy word, how wonderfully he prepared in each generation those men for divine office. You can look back and see how the Lord prepared Joshua to lead the children of Israel at the death of Moses. You know, when it came, we know it was a great burden to Joshua. But it didn't come upon Joshua unawares. The Lord had laid it on him. He prepared him for this. And the same applied with Elisha, at the death of Elijah. You know, the Lord wonderfully anointed him and prepared him to take up that mantle that fell from Elijah and to go and smite the waters of Jordan and say, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And in many ways the Lord did it with Timothy and Titus. They were to be used and the mantle was to fall upon them that had been upon the Apostle Paul. But here we find it so beautifully set forth concerning David building the house of God, as we looked at this morning. But you think of that mantle that fell upon Solomon. And the Lord prepared him to take it up, you know. The Lord had said it of him. This was what Solomon should do. And let us bring it home to us here. Is he preparing you for something? Preparing me? We don't know what a day or an hour will bring forth. What a mercy if the Lord has got those things he's preparing us for. Sometimes, you know, the Lord prepares his dear people for an affliction that comes upon them. Or he prepares them for some office maybe in the Church of God or some usefulness in the Church of God. And here, how useful Solomon was to be. And it wasn't going to be in vain, was it? We're told in the text what the Lord was going to do. Firstly, as we looked at this morning, the timing of it was in God's hand now. And secondly, the Lord confirmed, as we looked at this morning, that he, Solomon, was one, not only David's son, but one of the sons of God. And then thirdly, the Lord was going to be with him. And oh, what a mercy it is if you, whatever it may be, you've got to venture into that the Lord will be with us in it. It's like we often quote, "Leave me not to walk alone." Well, and then he goes further, "And prosper thou and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee." And prosper thou. You see, his labour was not going to be in vain. You know, there are many things we do where they never prosper. I remember an uncle of mine saying that he undertook to do some work for a man. And he said, when he undertook it, he thought, well, it should be a prosperous proposition. But he said, "I had to learn that prosperity cometh from the Lord He said we had trouble after trouble in it all. And he said there was no prosperity in it at all. Not naturally. It's like many may think, well, this will prosper and that. But the vital thing here is two things really that seem to rest upon me. First of all, in the building of God's house, there was to be prosperity here for Solomon. The Lord was going to grant it. He was going to prosper. What do we read in the Word of God? It's a very searching word. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Oh, do we not long for prosperity throughout Zion? And but then the second thing is this. The prosperity of our souls. And that is very vital. You know, often the Lord will bring us into trouble. He brings us into affliction. And what's it for? For the teaching and prosperity of our souls. We think of what dear John that leaned so upon the Lord's breast. In his epistle, you know, if ever a man prospered in his soul, dear John did. Why? Because he lived so near the Lord. And what a mercy it is when the afflictions come, or trials, or troubles, or opposition, if it brings us to the Lord and to live close to him. Why? That our souls might prosper. And oh, think of dear John, and he desired this. For others, you know, if we really prosper in our souls, we should desire that same prosperity to be granted to those around us. Lord, do prosper in their souls. Build them up in thy most holy faith. And we think of the dear John as he wrote that third epistle. And he says this. To the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beautiful statement, isn't it? Here was not a man-made elder, but an elder made by God. To the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. There's no doubt there was between dear John and Gaius, there was a wonderful union and oneness, well beloved, whom I love in the truth. You know, it's a wonderful mercy if we've got those we love in the truth, isn't it? That we can walk with in the things of God, that there's the sweet flowing together one with the other. A blessed union. Well, here it was with dear John and Gaius. And then he says this, beloved. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. And be in health even as thy soul prospers. You see, this is what he so desired, there would be real prosperity in his soul. And when is it we're favoured with real prosperity within? Well, when the Lord is pleased to bless us with peace and pardon and his love and all the prosperity. So our soul is filled with the sweet savour and presence of the Lord, his blessing within, even as thy soul prospereth. I shall never forget lying in a bed of affliction in our old house, and you know, at Lord's Day, I'm feeling very ill and unable to go to the house of God. And you know, these words were so precious to me. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Even as thy soul prospereth. You know, so often we're more healthy naturally than we are spiritually, aren't we? But what a mercy when it's the other way round. And often it is, you know, when the Lord brings us into places where our health is poor, and in it, he prospers and brings our soul into real health. So there's a real hungering and thirsting for Christ, a longing for our souls to be prosperous, built up, you see. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and be in health. Oh, the old preachers, you know, so often desired, didn't they, that their congregations, their church members were healthy in their souls. And when is it we're healthy in body? Let us look at it naturally. We have then a good appetite. When there's real health. Think about it spiritually. How healthy are we? How often do we hunger for the word? Thirst for the truth? As it is in Jesus. Well, this is the prosperity that David desired. Not only just for Solomon building the temple, but in his soul too. And when is it the church of God will be increased and prospered? When there are those prospered in their souls, so there be like David when he said, thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runneth over. You can't contain it, can you? It runs over. You could speak so much of how he's prospered you with his love, with his mercy, with his goodness, with his favour. With his presence. But then, if we're really in health, oh, there's much prayer, isn't there, going out to the Lord. Silent groaning, silent crying, silent longing for the Lord's appearing. Oh, that thou mayest prosper. And prosper thou. And prosper there. Now do you desire this, and do I, that there might be this real prosperity in our souls and in the churches? And prosper there. Notice how personal it was. It was what the Lord had spoken concerning Solomon, and prosper there. And build the house of the Lord thy God. And build the house of the Lord thy God. You see, looking at it naturally, for there to be, as we read in the lesson, in that 28th chapter, where David wonderfully spoke of all the workmen that there would be to do the building. There were those that specialised in gold. There were those that specialised in the working of the silver. There were those that specialised in the wood. And all the different aspects of the sanctuary. And they were all part of use for the building, you see. And look at it in this solemn day in which we live. Oh, that there may be those raised up to be skillful followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. Like you think of the apostles, they were all sort of different sort of characters, weren't they? But they were all used by the Lord for the building up of the church of God. There were the fishermen. There was Matthew from the receipt of custom. There was the apostle Paul. There were others that were so be used of God. And the Lord was to use them in this building up. And one desires that we might know more and more of this in this dark and solemn day in which we live. What does it mean? It means increase, building up. You see, something that is built up increases, doesn't it? You take a building and it's first the foundation, and then there's the laying of the bricks, and then as it grows, the roof and all the parts of the building, it increases. And that's a blessed thing, isn't it? May the church of God in this dark and solemn day be increased. I love that word in the Psalms. It's been made precious to me over the years. The Lord shall increase you more and more, both you and your children. And do we not desire in the church to see that increase? Souls born again, quickened into life, those brought from bondage into liberty, those filled with the love of Christ, that they have to run in his ways and keep his commandments, that there might be this building up. A godly increase. And what do we read? The Lord shall, and he promised, to add to the church daily such as should be saved. And you know that word will be fulfilled right to the end of time. The Lord continually will be increasing, adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's look at it in three ways. First of all, there will be those added that are born again, added to the church of God, born of the Spirit. Maybe at the backside of Russia or the deserts of Africa, the Lord will do it. What do we read? This man and that man shall be born there. We know that speaks of Zion and of the house of God. But you know that applies right through the whole earth. Really, there will be those. This man and that man shall be born there. Why? That the church of God might be built up. It's like a little child when it's born into the family. The family increases, doesn't it? And also will the church of God. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But then there were those added to the church in the earth in those following him in his sacred ordinances. And the church is increased and it's built up. Again I will build thee, the Lord said, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. And Jeremiah was promised that, you know, and it was a very dark and solemn day. Many had been in bondage, down in captivity, but the Lord was to fulfill it. Again I will build thee. That meant he'd built them up before, hadn't he? But now he was to build them up again. And you see, when the church is built up, there are those in love to the dear Redeemer and full of his blessing, enabled to cast in their lot with the church, you see, and there's a building up. But then, of course, it applies to heaven. You know, in this last year, we've seen many precious souls taken home to glory. The church in the earth feels their loss, but heaven is their eternal dwelling place. And the numbers of heaven increase, and there will be that blessed building up in glory. But look at it in our souls. Do we not long for a building up? There's much to pull us down, you see. Sin pulls us down, doesn't it? Troubles pull us down. Satan pulls us down. The flesh pulls us down. Afflictions pull us down. But oh, how wonderful it is when there's a blessed building up. And only the Lord can give it. I've seen some of the Lord's dear people in deep beds of affliction and naturally speaking and according to doctors, we know they can't ever be built up again, and yet the Lord has done it. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. The Lord alone gives the increase. He gives the building up. And may it be so. Some of you may be in regarding your providential pathway. You may say, well, we're going through hard times. We often hear of it today, don't we? People going through hard times. But we forget that many forget there's a build, there can be a building up. We've got to go down to be built up. Again I will build thee. Thou shalt be built. That meant he'd been built up before, but he was going to be built up again. And the Lord can do it, you see. And now with Solomon, we find here David says, now my son, the Lord be with thee and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God. It was a clear commission. This is what he got to do. Build the house of the Lord thy God. And it may be as one here or more. And this is what the Lord is going to use you for. To build the house of the Lord thy God. You know, it's one thing to look at a house being built from the outside. You may pass by it in the car and you look at it and you see it being built up. But you're not part of it, are you? Because you're just looking at it as you pass by. There are those that are actually being used to build it up. And there's no doubt there are many that pass by this chapel that will look at it and say, well, we wonder whether it's being built up. Well, are we amongst those that build it up? Or are we amongst those that pull it down? You think, yeah, it's very solemn and very searching, really, isn't it? You know, there are many that today that were pulled down. We think many years ago, and I remember reading of it, there were those that so hated one of our chapels, they threatened to burn it down, to pull it down. They so hated the truth, and they were religious people of a form, but they hated the truth that was preached there because it was searching and experimental, and it came where sinners were. And they threatened to pull it down. But what happened? The Lord pulled them down instead. He that Jesus said, he that's not for us is against us. And those that threatened to pull it down were solemnly dealt with by the Lord. And there were some in the family that were brought out. And brought to go to the house of God and were used to build it up instead of pulling it down. Oh, may we lay these solemn things to heart. Think of what the Lord said through David to Solomon, his son. Now, my son. In other words, Solomon, you listen to what the Lord has to say. And now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. There are a few things I just want to look at briefly before we leave it. First of all, notice whose house it was. The house of the Lord thy God. It wasn't to be Solomon's house. It wasn't to be David's. It was the Lord's house. The Lord thy God. And oh, may we lay that to heart. We hear people say, my chapel or this chapel or something else. They forget whose it is. The Lord, the house of the Lord thy God. And when is it the house of God to us? It's when the Lord makes it so to our souls. And what I mean is this, the Lord speaks to us there. And when he speaks to us there, he'll make it his house. You think of dear old Jacob. When he came to Bethel, the Lord was to make Bethel the house of God to him. Oh, he was. And what did he say about it? This place where he was. He could truly say, couldn't he? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And oh, how he could bless the Lord there, couldn't he? Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. And he says, doesn't he? How dreadful is this place. This is none other than the house of God. And there's a gate of heaven. And then you can find a very similar word where the Lord appeared to Moses. Unloose the shoes from off thy feet, for the ground whereon I stand is holy ground. You see, the Lord was there. It was God's house to him. And that's a very sacred thing, isn't it? This is what draws the sinner's heart to the house of God. And it drew David's there. This is why he so desired to build it. Because he dwelt in tents, hadn't they? And worshipped as they'd gone along. But now they must have this house built for the Lord's honour, for the Lord's glory. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house. This was the clear commission. And what he has said, poor soul, may we be given grace to do it. And build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. But then, he didn't leave it there. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep all the law of the Lord thy God. Now, you may say, well, Solomon was a wise man. He was, because God had made him wise. What are we singing the hymn? When Solomon for wisdom prayed, the Lord before had made him wise. Else he another choice had made, and asked for what the world implies. But you know, that wisdom the Lord gave him, he was going to need it here in several ways. He was going to need wisdom to build this beautiful house, not for his own pleasure, not for David's pleasure, but for the Lord's. It was the Lord's house, and for his glory. And he was going to need wisdom in all the parts of it, the building. Secondly, he was going to need wisdom to rule the nation while it was being built, and to deal with the people of God as it was being built. The hymn writer said, and what a beautiful prayer it is, isn't it? Give wisdom to direct my way, and strength to do thy will. Strength to do thy will. But oh, the need of wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. You know, that wisdom we so need, the Lord can give it. And it may be in something you're in today, you need much wisdom. You seek the Lord for it, because he alone can give it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Nowhere else. And then, oh, to be wise in our souls. Wise to our condition. You know, the Lord had made the dear publican ever so wise. Oh, he had. He was wise, far wiser than what the Pharisee was. The Pharisee thought he was better than anybody. But oh, he didn't know anything of wisdom, did he? If we are really wise in our souls, we shall be wise to ourselves, to our solemn condition by nature. We are poor, fallen sinners. And we cannot really cast one stone at another, because we're so poor and so vile and so ignorant. But to be wise to that condition. And the publican was. That's why he prayed like he did for mercy. Because the Lord had made him wise to his condition, and wise that there was a God that could deal with all his sin. And if we're really wise, we shall know what it is to feel our great need of the Lord and for this wisdom. And so what does David say to Solomon? Only the Lord give thee wisdom. He wasn't to get it from any book or from any man. The wisdom that cometh from above. We read, don't we? In Psalm 107, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And if you go through Psalm 107, they had to learn wisdom. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. And if we're really wise spiritually, we shall observe the Lord's dealings. We shall observe the Lord's work. We shall observe the Lord's word. We should observe the Lord's preaching through his servants. Wisdom. The Lord give thee wisdom. And it may be in something today you're in. The Lord give thee wisdom. Solomon was going to need it. And yet the Lord had made him wise in many ways. But here he needed particular wisdom. And then, and understanding. Oh, to have gracious understanding. What does the wise man say in Proverbs? If any man, you see, needs wisdom, he must ask of God. But you see, he not only had to ask for wisdom, but for understanding. Get wisdom, but with all thy getting, get understanding. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be given a gracious understanding. Oh, it is. I've had some of the Lord's children say to me of their condition they feel to be in, and oh, we need so much grace to understand their case. But the Lord understands it, you know. You think, and I must leave it, but you think of it concerning those that came to the Lord Jesus, the gracious understanding he had of their case. You know, it's wonderful to have a good doctor, and you know, I've so often blessed the Lord for that. But you know, someone like a good doctor that understands the condition and understands the need of the person and knows exactly how they feel and know. And, but think about it spiritually. The Lord, you see, he gives to his dear people a gracious understanding. Oh, he does. Well, I must leave it, but may the Holy Spirit apply this precious word to us. May we not leave it as I often pray on the chapel doorstep, but may it live in us. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee. Oh, what a precious word. The Lord be with thee. It's my soul's desire. And prosper thou. Build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then thou shalt prosper. Oh, may the Lord grant it. Amen.